Sisters who watch. Sisters who watch. Sisters who watch.
Ready to love.
Hey y'all, hey. Welcome to Sisters Who Watch.
I'm Shelby.
And I'm Laura, and we're sisters who watch everything. TV, movies, sports, concerts, and even singles looking for love in Texas.
Yes.
We love to watch, and we love talking about it even more. Today we're watching...
Ready to Love. Season 9 of OWN's reality dating show, set in Fort Worth, Texas.
Yes. We're so excited. And before we get into the episode and introduce our very, very special guests... Please make sure you give Sisters Who Watch 5 stars on all, wherever you listen to podcasts, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and make sure you follow us on our social media platforms, Instagram, TikTok, Twitter, all those things. So we're there, go support us. And we also have merch. I'm wearing our hat. So go to our website, sisterswhowatch.com, yes. And under the shop tab, you can find our merch. So go get some. Okay, Shelby.
Yay.
We have such a special guest here today. I can't believe it. A celebrity.
Yes. Alexis Williams is here with us today. Alexis is a Ready to Love Season 9 cast member, but also a family friend.
Yes.
So exciting.
Surprise, surprise.
Yes. She actually used to babysit us back in the day, which is crazy.
I have proof. I have the gray hairs to prove it. So.
Oh my goodness. Well, Alexis, thank you so much for being here. We're excited to hear about your experience and Ready to Love. Introduce yourself to our audience. Like, tell us about yourself, where they can find you.
I am Alexis Williams. I am recently 33. And I was on the past season of Ready to Love Season 9, which was set in Fort Worth. I don't live in Fort Worth. But I do live in the North Texas area. I'm originally from Jackson, Mississippi, born and raised. I had a great childhood, really close with my family. Being on a reality show, or especially Ready to Love, was something that was kind of like always something that I probably would be in the entertainer side of things, if you ask my mom, I'm sure. but yeah, I'm just your everyday girl. I'm on social media. I'm not real big on social media. I kind of have a little bit of like a love-hate relationship a little bit with social media. I do it because, you know, news and whatnot and that type of stuff. But I hate it for all of just the negativity and disgusting things. Mm-hmm. But if you like to follow me on social, my Instagram is Listen to Lex. If you want to follow me, you can go follow me there. I don't really do Twitter and all of that, but I'll post pictures every now and then.
Amazing. Awesome. Yes, y'all. Please follow Alexis.
Support yes. her.
Show my page some love. I need some followers if I'm going to be a star.
So we'd love to like start off the conversation hearing about like what dating was like, you know, before going on the show. And were you familiar with Ready to Love? Had you seen the show before?
Yeah. So prior to being on the show, I had been single. I had just left a very long relationship, probably my longest. It is my longest relationship to date. We were together off and on for about 5 years. At the point in my career where I'm financially stable, you know, I've gone through enough things in life now that, you know, I'm emotionally mature. I'm spiritually really close with God. And so I'm like, man, I have everything in place the way I want it. Mm-hmm. And now, I can take the focus off of my career and building myself and focus on now sharing my life with somebody. I have kissed enough frogs. I am like, I've tried my hand at like seriously dating, you know, just not working out for me. And so I was actually in Australia at the time when my sisters like sent me the applications. Mm-hmm. But my sisters were like, you know, you're dealing with all this crap with men right now. Like, you know, dating sites aren't working. This isn't working. Like, this is something totally different. And they're like, Lexi, you got the personality for it. Like, if anybody would do it, like, we know that, like, you would do it. So I'm like, all right, like whatever, how, you know, like how bad could it be? I put the app in, and you know, with the app, it's just kind of like, you're not really thinking like, oh, they're actually going to reach out to me. Cause I'm thinking like, man, this is going to be a lot of people.
Yeah.
Like in this pool, you know what I mean? So I think I applied around October of 2022.
Mm-hmm.
And then around, I didn't get the official, we're going to move forward with you until about end of April of 2023.
Oh, that's so, a long time.
It was a long, long time in between time where you're like, you know, you're still dating other people. You're not thinking like, this is something that is, you know, going to be fruitful. About 2 weeks before they actually decide that you're going to be on the show, that's when they call you in and say, okay, you've been chosen to be like as one of the castmates for this season. Wow. So it was about a 2 week time frame between officially finding out and boom, you're in front of a camera. You
That's
know what I mean?
Quick. What yeah. was your initial reaction when you found out you were going to be on the show? Were you excited? Were you shocked?
Girl,
hesitant?
I was all types of things. Because you don't know what to, you have no idea what to expect. You know what I mean? Like, I was excited because, okay, like, I'm going to be not one on TV, but I am going to potentially meet a partner. You know what I mean? You're nervous, you're terrified, you're anxious. It's you literally go through a roller coaster of emotions, like, from the time you find out, like, through the entire process.
I can only imagine.
Yeah,
that sounds wild. Going in and you were like, okay, I'm gonna be on the show. What were you expecting that process to be like? And how did they prepare you for filming?
Honestly, I didn't know what to expect. Because you can watch an episode of a show and now having experienced it, it's not, you're not even scratching, you're barely scratching the surface of like situations. You know, you watch it from a fan standpoint and you're like, oh, I could do this. This is, you know, easy peasy.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, you get there and there's like six cameras and they're coming from all different angles. They're set up here, set up there. There's 20 other people that are behind the cameras that you guys don't even see that are moving around set and doing things. And it's a lot.
Yeah, I appreciate you saying that because I do think as a fan, I probably take for granted all of the moving parts and how hard it is to actually like try to fall in love on camera. It's easy for me, like behind the screen, you know, be like, why would they say that? Or, you know, why aren't they getting together? But not being in that situation, I can imagine it's like heightened stakes. It's uncomfortable. You're not used to cameras. Like, there's a lot more in play than when you're just trying to date in real life. Dating is hard in general. And then acting the cameras, woo. Another dimension.
And it's so interesting to see how people, their energy one way off camera is one way. And then as soon as those cameras are rolling, it's a totally different persona. And so that in itself is really off-putting because you're like, wait a minute, like this is like, oh, so you're acting like this is really like, and then so now you're in this mode where, dang, should I kind of, to answer your question, no, they don't prepare you. They give you essentially a packet and it has, you know, things that you can wear, things that you can't wear, colors, patterns, those types of things, stressing how, you know, important it is to be on time and this and that, just kind of like the guidelines and bylaws. And then once you have that, they start to set up your days where you're going to shoot. They literally just throw you in front of like a ton of cameras. So it's just like a regular average person that's just doing regular everyday things. And now all of a sudden you're in front of the world.
Shelby and I, we watch a lot of reality TV, especially the dating shows. Like we've seen we've seen a few seasons of Ready to Love, and then we heard you were going to be on. We're like, oh my gosh, you have to hop back in. We got to watch Alexis. And we're always like, why the producers need to, you know, give you resources and like help these contestants, you know, like kind of ease their way into reality TV. But clearly they don't do that because they want the chaos. They want the drama. Mm-hmm. And it's interesting that they just threw you in there with no preparation.
They cut you open and throw you into the ocean and pull the cameras out so when the sharks start circling, they can get it on camera. That's essentially that's how they kind of do you.
Brutal.
Yikes.
Yeah.
It's weird because I feel like as a fan, you want the drama, but then you're like, I want the people on the show to actually find love and like not be put in toxic situations. So it's like a weird balance.
Mm-hmm. As someone that I watch reality TV, of course I live for the drama when I'm watching it because you know it's entertaining. No one wants to watch like the real conversations and the people hashing things out and the positive aspect. People tune in to see the drama. That's what sells. And so it's just really interesting to just watch it all unfold and now to be on the other side of it to say like you have no idea like how conjured that was or how just manipulated certain situations are.
Well, I think that's a good transition to start talking about the season.
Once you were on the show and filming, what were your initial impressions of the cast? Like, did you know anyone? Like, what was your vibe?
Were you attracted to anyone?
Yeah.
So initially, no, I didn't know anyone. And that's because, like, I'm not on the scene, you know, I'm not like a on the scene kind of girl. So, you know, I'm not going to be in the clubs. I'm not going to be, that's just not my thing. If I do go out and have a good time, but I like to do things that are just not completely alcohol focused. Now, while all the guys to me are handsome in their own right, I don't feel like I would label anybody as like ugly or unattractive. Initially, once I met all of the guys that were there, from jump, I was like, there's no one here that physically does it for me, not on the physical side. And, you know, that's one of those things where I'm sure I'm not physically what everybody looks for.
And also just want to mention, like, I feel like social media too kind of agrees with you. Like a lot of social media is dragging the men of the season.
When we saw the cast list, I was like, wait, what? These are the guys? I'm curious, did you have any like favorite or least favorite moments of the season or like favorite challenges or activities? Obviously, Tommy has all his parties and the women's lounge.
Tommy is about as involved as he comes on and he does his 5 minutes and he's out of there. You know what I mean? And I think people mistake because he's the host of the show that he's like, Tommy, you guys should vet the guys, but you should vet people better. Tommy should say this. Tommy should do that. Tommy is the host. Tommy shows up on set, does his lines, and he's out. He's not interacting and doing all of like that type of stuff. I can tell you for sure my least favorite moment was the reunion. Like that goes kind of without saying, right? Obviously, for obvious reasons, that was definitely my least favorite moment of all time. Like, general in my life, for sure. My favorite moment, I probably would say, the second, the mixer where everyone meets. It was just really good energy to have everybody all together and then, you know, to finally just see, okay, this is the group that I'm kind of going on this journey with. And they didn't really show a whole lot of that, of, you know, the footage that we got during that brunch, but there were a lot of good conversations that were had that day that, you know, I just feel like they could have just dug a little deeper and didn't show just like the surface petty drama stuff and could have really shown some really good conversations that were, mm-hmm. you know, being had.
Got it.
No, that's awesome. Yeah. I know for me, I love seeing your like referee basketball date.
Oh,
like that
yeah.
was so cute.
Yeah, I do. I referee. So. That was actually real.
That's yeah, awesome.
That was actually real.
Yeah, I really love that moment too. In college, I was a basketball referee, and I also did volleyball too. So I was like, "Oh my gosh!" Like Alexis, I see you. That was really fun. Like, what's the timing of filming like? Because you have the ladies' lounges. Like, does that happen mm-hmm. once a week? And like, when after you, Tommy's like, "This is what we're gonna do this week." Like, when do you reach out to the guys that you're thinking about eliminating? Like, what does that timeline look like from the start of the week to the end of the week?
So this process is like lightning speed. Everything is like lightning speed.
Wow.
So when you see things like, I know there was the first ladies lounge that they showed, we shot two ladies lounges in the same day, like back to back.
Oh.
So the whole conspiracy when they were like, Alexis is sharing things from the ladies' lounges. We hadn't even had a ladies' lounge yet for
wow.
me to share anything from, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the first ladies' lounge that they made was when they introduced Justin to the group. The curveball or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That same day, like 30 minutes later, we changed clothes and we started filming what was considered the second ladies' lounge, right?
Oh.
Yes.
TV magic.
At that second ladies' lounge is when they brought forward the whole text message and all of that and made it seem like we had already had a ladies' lounge. So this whole thing about stop sharing from the ladies' lounge, I'm like, there wasn't a ladies' lounge to share anything from. Like, what are we talking about? So
wow.
it's just everything moves really, really quickly to answer your question. Mm. Everything moves really quickly. So you may have a ladies' lounge on Tuesday, and then Tuesday night they may send me on a bubble date, you know, to go tell someone they're still ready to love, like a few hours
wow.
later. So it's not like there's a week in between time and this has had time to stew and fester and people have
mm-hmm.
thought about it, and it's not that. It's literally that same night.
Mm.
Then that's the bubble
wow.
date or the elimination date or whatever the case may be. So it may seem like, oh, a week went by, but it's probably like 12 hours like that actually went by. Yeah.
Crazy.
How long was filming from when you like first started filming to the end of the process? Like, how long was that?
So it was scheduled to film for 6 weeks, the
okay.
entire show. So if you made
wow.
it through the entire process, you filmed for 6 weeks total. And so I made it just a little bit more than halfway through.
Mm-hmm.
So I filmed for about 4 weeks. They're wanting you to cram 4 months of dating, 6 months of dating into a month and a half. And it's ridiculous. So when you see things like people saying like, oh, Jonathan isn't open enough, or it's like, he just met you 4 days ago. You know what I mean? And you're asking
yeah.
him when was the last time he slept with his child's mother. And he just met you like 72
Ooh.
Hours ago. So it's like, it's
wild.
All this conjured up just stuff where it's like, it's no wonder he doesn't like you. Like,
yeah,
it's no wonder she doesn't like you. She doesn't know you. Like, it's really not that deep for me, especially when I already know that I'm not physically feeling anybody like that. Like, if I know
mm-hmm.
that this is just going to be a platonic thing anyway, it's not that deep for me. Like, I'm not
yeah.
coming for you. I'm not trying to conspire and create alliances and do all that. It's not that deep.
Thank you for sharing about the timeline, because I think that's helpful perspective that the audience, right, and fans don't understand or realize. And to your
right.
point, gives a bit more grace to someone like Jonathan, who,
you know,
isn't as forward because he just met you. So
right.
it makes a lot of sense. I'm
right.
curious, do you feel like the show was like heavily scripted or edited, or that you were pressured to portray yourself in a certain way?
This is a great question, because reality TV is like, it's an oxymoron in itself, right?
Mm.
What you're seeing is real, but the way that they edit and put it together and the way that they go about it is scripted. And what I mean by that is they heavily influence how they want the scene to go. So they're not going to hand you a script with words on it and say, this is what we want you to say. Mm-hmm. But they are going to prep you before the scene. And depending on the producer who's producing that scene, they don't like a whole lot of drama. They just kind of want to get to the nitty gritty. Or they this producer does kind of like to slowly get into the point of the conversation before the scene and say, we want the scene to go XYZ. And, you know, we're going to start it out as a regular date. About 20 minutes in, you know, we're going to hold up your cue to. And so when they say cue, they're holding up a phone that has words written on it, and they'll be behind the person that you're talking to, so they can't see that this is the cue. And so editing, of course, you look away, you see what cue they're giving you. And so it may say, for example, on my date, my bubble date with Will, when I was telling him he was still ready to love. So again, they heavily lead the scene. This is how we want the scene to go. They held up the word stability. So when they held up the word stability, that's when they wanted you to go into, okay, well, give us an example of why the ladies feel like stability is an issue. Okay, wow. So I can't just say they feel like your stability's in question. It's they feel like your stability is in question because XYZ, right?
Wow.
And so it's not like, oh, she's just telling unnecessary information. No, that's not how this works. You understand? Like, I can't just go in and say, the ladies think you talk too much, and they said they actually think you're broke. Like, that's they're going to ask you to reshoot that scene. They're going to say, they're going to stop scene and say, hey, let's go more into that. Give me more on this part. You know, and so they're going to keep going until they get what they need from you. I don't feel like they pressure you in a sense to be who you aren't, but they create environments and situations that you don't deal with on a regular basis and that you would never be dealing with outside of this situation. You know what I mean? So it's not like they force you to do anything, but it's, again, it's heavily influenced. Asking questions and they're like, hey, Alexis, I think you should really, you know, say your piece on this because they're saying XYZ. They're really, really dragging this. And the reason they didn't show any me saying or, you know, bad mouthing anybody is because I wouldn't do it. Because my whole thing was, you're going to have to stand on everything that you say and do while you're on this show. They have footage of it. So I was very conscious about not bad mouthing anybody because I didn't want anyone to have me on wax saying she said XYZ about this person or she said XYZ. Let them talk. Let them make themselves be, that's who they are. That's what they want to say. They have ways of trying to pull the, you know, poking the bear and and adding fuel to fires that don't need to be fame, you know, at all.
Yeah. They want to get their story, right? They want to get the drama. So
it's their job.
That you makes sense.
Wow.
It's their job. And unfortunately, it comes at the expense of people who, you know, we're byproducts of it. To me, it doesn't make it better because you're doing it at our expense and you're gaining from this. I'm not.
There was a lot of drama this season. It felt like certain people like LaRon were like super fired up. And was that him or was he pressured by producers? Was there genuine conflict there? I'm curious because among everyone, it seemed like he was the one who was like ready to fight.
LaRon is, and I hate even giving him energy, like speaking life into this man. But I didn't realize and find out until later that like he's like into acting and entertainment and all of this as well. So there's several people on the cast that you know, you didn't at the time, you may not have known because you don't know these people, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But as time goes on and you follow them on social media and you see like, oh, this is like, you're just you know, had I known that this was what it was going to be, then I would have came in with an acting hat on. You know, mm-hmm. I would have come in naive and genuine and with good mm-hmm. intentions. I would have had ill intent going mm-hmm. into it had I known that there are several people here who have more motive than just finding love. You know what right. I mean? And yeah. so he was one of those people that, you know, he's trying to break into the entertainment industry and all wow. of these things. So I think a lot of it was production poking the bear and doing things and creating environments. But I think a lot of it too was him wanting TV time.
Just yeah, he got a lot of it.
He got a, he and if that was his purpose, he did it proven to be fruitful.
Mm-hmm. What was the hardest part about watching yourself back on TV? Ooh. And what did you do to prioritize your own wellness? Because I can imagine yeah. this is already a really stressful experience. Like, how did yeah. you kind of take care of yourself?
Watching it back, even like the good moments, because I feel like I didn't have a moment where I cringed at myself until the reunion, mm-hmm. you know, where I was like, because I knew that all the messy stuff and the text and all, yeah. I knew the truth behind it. Even though I knew the truth at the reunion, I don't like how I reacted the way I mm-hmm. reacted. And again, the alcohol is no excuse, but that didn't help. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I can understand my outbursts there more so than how they tried to paint my character to be. And this was just unprovoked. Like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? Like,
right. yeah.
why am I the scapegoat? Why am I the person? Why? To prioritize myself. Like, with my condition and everything, like, I have to keep myself as stress-free as possible. Were triggered by, you know, environment, foods, all types of things with this condition. Mine is hormonal. So if I'm stressed, if I'm extremely stressed, then I will start to flare. So I had surgery in over 2019 and I hadn't gotten a flare. I got one flare while I was living with my ex. I was extremely stressed. And then my second flare in years since my surgery came during the filming of this show. Wow. And so I was like, this is dang. Not only physically harming me at this point, it's emotionally mm-hmm. and spiritually, like, just really heavy mm-hmm. for me. So I realized, like, I wanted to quit, like, a few weeks in, and they were like, well, one girl already quit, so, you know, you've already signed the contract, and, like, we can't, like, mm-hmm. Lex, please just do your time on the show, just, you know, the experience. I just really had to just vent a lot about it and just talk to my mom and my, you know, my family a lot and just kind of really just keep me grounded. Like, Lexi, you know, this isn't real. Just don't let this bother you. And it's hard to mm-hmm. not let it bother you when you're the one on the receiving end of it.
Of course.
You know what I mean? For example, like with the Jonathan situation, when he put me on his lap, mm-hmm. they made right. such a big deal about that off camera, like in interviews, that I was like, I see what you guys are going to do. We're trying to paint it out to be. And I'm not going to let you crucify this Black man on national television for one bad moment that he had, one misjudgment mm-hmm. that he had. So I was very adamant about shutting it down and being like, nope, he apologized. Nope, we're not going back to that. Nope, we're not going to keep revisiting that. That is done. It's over. Let it go. And so I think they were a little upset with me because I didn't let it brew kind of how they wanted it to brew
right.
and it'd mm-hmm. be a more dramatic send off for him. But I was like, nope, I'm not going to let you. And even like the other guys, like when ladies were just talking, like just really badly about them in the ladies lounges, like I would interject and be like, that wasn't my experience with him. You know, if that's how she felt, that's how she felt, but that wasn't what I experienced with him. Just because mm-hmm. I'm seeing it happen, like they're shitting on these men and these men haven't yeah. done a thing to them. And not that I'm male-centered or anything, but it's like, I like to be on the side of right, whether it's the women or the men or the child or the animal, whatever. Mm-hmm. I want to be on the side of right. And so I was just seeing things and just in people's character that I was just not interested in being a part of. And I think when you don't fold to negativity and you are that person that's like, no, I'm not standing for this. This is ridiculous. And it's, mm-hmm. you know, it's whack. Then you're gonna be okay. Well, we're gonna turn it on you then. I think that's what happened with me. And so during the whole process, it was just really, it was just disheartening. Because I was like, man, I just saw weed. I just expected so much more from this than what I actually got. It's really, it's a letdown. It's a letdown. Yeah.
I'm sorry to hear that. And like, appreciate you sharing and like being honest about it. But I'm glad that you're on the other side and you're like ready to move past it.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I was telling someone, I was like, you know, if I wasn't such a mentally strong person, I would have folded a long time ago. I would have folded a long time ago. The things that people say about people that they have never met, they have never seen, they will probably never see, the things that people, like, they go for the jugular. It's just crazy to watch, like, how 5 minutes on television, on an edited show, can sway someone to, like, what seems like true hatred. It's, like, really weird.
Yeah, but you're still here, you're still standing. They're not gonna bring you down.
It ain't gonna break me. No. It's gonna take more than that. It's gonna take more than that, baby.
Has the cast been supportive, or have people been like reaching out to you? Do you stay in touch with anyone from the show?
From the cast, I'll be honest. A few ladies have reached out like as of late, but kind of in my opinion, you know, you chose your side like a long time ago, and you know, it's kind of like, yeah, at this point, like, girl, this is a year or so, like, later, like, thanks, but no thanks, you know, I wasn't cool, I didn't rock with you then, and I'm not gonna pretend to rock with you now just because you're on the outs with a mutual enemy, you know, I don't bond over that, I don't bond over mutual dislikes and all, like, all of that stuff. As far as the guys, like, I didn't have any problem with that. That wasn't the problem for me on the show. You know, the guys love me. That was what I was there for. I was there for the men.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, sisterhood, great. Right. You know, I have sisters. I have female friends. That's not why I'm here, baby. I'm here for these men.
That's it.
You understand?
Hey, as so, you should be.
You know, that was...
That's the point of the show.
That's the point of the show. I don't want... Like, nice to meet you, but let me see what he's talking about. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I was on. But as far as the guys, I don't have any problem with any of the guys other than LaRon. If I, you know, I will pay him dust if I ever saw him. Justin is just kind of a innocent bystander just because I dislike his girl so much. Like, me and you could never, like, that would be, you know, no thank you. But other than that, yeah, all of the guys have reached out to me. They are, you know, they, you know, want to take me, hey, let's catch up, let's have lunch, let's have a drink, whatever.
Nice.
I talk to Dom every now and again, William, Alonzo, and I don't have a problem with the ladies. It's just the few that I, you know, I had my little tips with. And again, I wasn't there for them. So I don't really care.
Hey, it's not about care. Ready to make friends. It's about ready to love.
Ready to be best girlfriends, you know. It's ready to love. It.
Is there like a memorable moment from the season that you wish had aired but didn't, or something you wish people had seen about you but they didn't get to?
I got eliminated right before we were going to bring our like family and friends and stuff on. And I would have loved to bring, you know, show the world, like, my family and my friends and just, like, the amazing people that I have around me. I would have loved to show the world that. You know, I probably would have had my mom and dad on there. And then probably my sisters on there, too. I wish they had shown a little bit more of, we had a really fun time at basketball. We had a ball. We were bowling. I wish they had shown at the reunion, like, before too much alcohol and all of the, like, the messiness started up. I wish they had shown us, like, actually, you know, chatting and kind of in a good space backstage or, you know, and I wish they had shown just less of the drama Because like I said, there were a lot of good conversations that I was a part of. Like Will went to theology school, you know, like him and I, we really connected on that. You know, William played basketball overseas. So that was like a big thing where we connected. Dominique is like a really, really funny guy. He's really like has a great personality. Lamar, they made Lamar seem like a sexual pervert, and Lamar is really just a fun guy. He was one of the most honest guys there.
Classic. They're gonna choose the drama, not the important, thoughtful conversations.
Exactly. Right. You know,
was there anything else that really surprised you about the process and filming?
Just how Hollywood does Hollywood. And it's so interesting because we watch the show the same time you guys watch the show. We don't know what's edited. We don't know what they're going to show. We don't know what they're going to hit on. We have no idea. So when you're watching a scene, especially that you were a part of, and you see them chop it down and plug in like voiceovers and things, and it's like, why would you put it, you know, that was probably the most shocking thing. It's just like, this is so crazy because the truth is just as entertaining as the edit that you're bringing forward. Like if you had just left it at the truth, like the truth of a lot of these real situations was probably far more entertaining than the lie that they made up.
It's something that makes me think of the Bachelor franchise. We watch a lot of reality TV, and we watch The Golden Bachelor, RIP, because the couple have now divorced. But
surprise there.
Shocker. But The Golden Bachelor was like so much more of a wholesome dating show, and they didn't really focus on drama. And I think everyone who watched it was like, this is a breath of fresh air, because typically with The Bachelor and Bachelorette, it's all about the drama and the fights between the contestants and them wanting to have more time with the lead. Whereas it felt finally like these are people who are just here to like fall in love and have like deep conversations and get along. And it was just so refreshing. And I feel like producers, these companies are underestimating what audiences really want. Like I want to see people like fall in love. I don't need Lauren getting all the airtime. That's
you know,
not
you
what
know,
I need.
No.
Like let's show the real. And that's what makes me come back for more. I think why I don't watch as many dating shows as I do so much so as like the Housewives franchises. They don't have to conjure up as much drama. Like it's just gonna happen naturally over time. And you know that, like, okay, this is a real couple, at least. I can probably count on one hand how many successful Ready to Love couples in all 9 seasons there have been.
I know.
You know what I mean? So it's like, what's the point in 9 seasons? We're talking, there's been less than 5 that have stayed together and are actually together. Like,
nothing.
Let's look at the structure. Let's re-look at something, because at this point, this is all it's for. It's for entertainment. It has served no other purpose other than that. You know what I mean? So if you say you want to put these couples together, then let's get a real psychologist, a real relationship coach, and not just someone that has an earbud and is just hosting for 5 minutes. Let's put people who know how to help people through these different transitions and relationships, and maybe we'll have success in the couples.
Shelby and I've talked about this so much. Like we need to have like counseling and therapists like on set to really help contestants. Right? Because we want love. That's why we're here. I feel like y'all are not set up for success. Like you're set up for failure and for the drama.
If you're going on Ready to Love and your goal is to truly find a person, this is not the platform for you. If you're wanting to go and plug your business, if you're wanting to go and get your face out there, if you're wanting to increase your social media popularity, otherwise you're wasting your time. Do not go into it naively thinking that this is going to be a natural process where you are truly getting to know somebody. You're definitely not getting this person's true representative on a TV show.
Mm-hmm.
So just be cognizant of that. Mm-hmm. If you're truly looking for somebody, do it the old-fashioned way.
That's really good advice. And I think something that, you know, I really like about Ready to Love is that, of course, it's all Black people. And
yeah.
We don't have Black dating shows, so that's exciting. And it's also, you know, an older demographic, unlike mm-hmm. The Bachelor and all these other shows where everyone's like 25. So I love seeing people in their 30s and 40s and sometimes 50s. And sometimes you're like, oh, we're going to get maturity. But oftentimes, yeah, we did not get that this season.
Please.
Yikes. It's a myth. Maturity does not always come with age, people.
Exactly. No. Wisdom does not always come with age. It was some women like on the show that looked 45 and were like 30 something. I'm like, you act like you're 20. You look 40. But you're like, I looked at some of the ladies and their situations, just their circumstance, mm-hmm. and I'm like, I feel like I'm really trying to rush finding my forever person because I'm definitely not in the same boat as some of these people are. Like, I see why I'm not taking it so seriously, because for some of these people, it seems like this is like, listen, we need to find somebody because the pickings are much more slim for you with your circumstances than like me.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me feel like I don't really belong here. Like, this isn't for me.
Again, appreciate you sharing. You've been so honest and open.
Yeah.
And it's so amazing to hear about your experience.
Yeah.
Should we move to our game?
Yes. Nice. I'm excited. Okay. Let's do it.
Okay. So, red flag, green flag, 1, 2, 3. Is it a red flag to have too many connections on a dating reality show like Chaz?
Given what I know about the show, I wouldn't say that's a red flag on the show. For the sake of the show, no. Because the name of the game is to collect as many infinity stones as you can to protect yourself from being voted off the island.
Okay, that's a good point.
That's
because
interesting. I never thought of it like that.
Yeah. And I feel like some of the ladies on the show were like, Chaz has too many connections, he's gotta narrow it down. And you know, on Bachelor in Paradise and Love Island too, they're like, they have so many connections. But it's like, isn't that the point of the show, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind
and
of
also
balance.
I think he inflated a little bit.
What did he say? He's like 10 out of 11
10
women.
10 out of 11, yeah. And it's like there's 10 women.
Next question. Is it a green flag to drop out on the day of filming, like Glenn did when he got into a car crash?
I'm glad you asked this because I'm a big conspiracy theorist anyway, okay? And I feel like the whole Glenn not coming was a play from jump, understand? And this is why. Physically speaking, Justin probably physically was the best looking guy, right? Justin
Agreed.
Is one of the better looking guys amongst the cast.
Yes.
Why wouldn't he be chosen as one of the first 10 options to begin with?
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Unless this was a play from the jump to say we're gonna have a Glenn character that shows up and blah blah blah. And then we're going to just have one guy in the pipeline ready to go right away for the following week. Like, come on. I personally believe that was a conspiracy, that was a play from the jump. That's just me. As far as it a green flag, I think that is bullshit. And Glenn either, like I said, is either A, he was never supposed to be on it to begin with, or B, he just really had really bad anxiety, like the worst. And I just think it was kind of a cowardice move, in my opinion. You know, we're all anxious. We all are terrified. Mm-hmm. Like, you made a commitment, do it. So, no, I think that's a big red flag with, like, flashing lights on it. I'm still sticking with my first story, and I think it was a conspiracy from jump.
Wow. Great take, because it is suspicious to me that he would drop out the day of filming, and the excuse was, oh, I got in a car accident and take my kid. Like, it just wasn't adding up. It didn't make sense. And to your point, I think Justin would have been like a hot commodity. Like, people wanted him on the show. It is strange to think that they had him just waiting in the wings.
You know, you just had someone just that was just prepared to be on television. Mm-hmm. Come on now.
Yeah.
But yeah.
A little
what
fishy.
Do I know? Why know?
So we've come to the end of our review of the season, our interview with you. So thank you, Alexis, so much.
No problem. This was fun.
Yay. Now that we've gone through a review, you've had a lot of time to reflect, like, is Ready to Love a wait or a watch?
I say it's a watch. You know what I mean? Watch mm-hmm. it for sure. It keeps you coming back. It keeps you interested. I'm on it. I think I don't want to speak too soon, but I really feel like this past season has been some of their better numbers. And they had to do something because word on the curb is it was dying. So I think they, you know, really got those ratings going on our season for that reason. So heck yeah, watch it. Watch it. Show me some love.
I agree. I think it's a watch. I hadn't watched Ready to Love in a minute. So to your point about the franchise dying, I had given up, hadn't watched in a few seasons, but you brought me back. So I recommend.
Yes, 100%. Same as Shelby. Like, we hadn't seen a few seasons. We heard you were going to be on. We're like, we have to watch. We have to support Alexis. Mm-hmm. And I will say, you brought the energy, the entertainment to the season. Yes. So thank you for being so just genuinely and authentically yourself, like you said, like you mm-hmm. were you. And you could tell, like, genuinely.
Yes.
So, yeah, I was absolutely, and I said it multiple times on the show, like, you know, with me, what you see is what you get. You know, I don't fold. I don't bend for anything. I feel like if you would fall for anything, like, you stand for nothing. So I am proud of myself for standing my ground, even when mm-hmm. I felt like I was up against a machine. At times, I would like to follow up again and again apologize to, you know, my family and my friends for, you know, how I just reacted at the reunion. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, you guys know my family. Like, we're not those kinds of people that are, you know, vicious and that type of thing. So to watch myself really just be completely out of character and get that way, like, it was a teaching moment. It was definitely a learning moment, humbling for sure. Mm-hmm. I just hope I take it and learn from it. And if I ever decide to do reality TV again, I know it won't be a dating show like this. I do know that I know I can handle mm-hmm. it, and I know I can bring some ratings and some good TV.
Keep
people watching. Yeah, so
yes, you did exactly. We want to see you on TV again.
Yeah, maybe we'll see. I'll see if there's something in the works. If someone will have me. If my dream is to get married and then be like on Housewives franchise, bring a black Housewives franchise to Dallas or something.
Yes.
Or,
you know.
Love that.
I can see it.
Yes.
You're like reffing your kids' teams and
yelling.
I would love to watch that. Oh my goodness, we love Bravo. So so we're waiting. We'll count down the days until you're on the Housewives franchise.
I'm manifesting it. I believe that for you.
Yes. You know, Shelby and I, we talk about this all the time. We want to go on the Amazing Race together. Like, we'd love to go.
Yeah.
We'd love to do that. What advice do you have for someone who's thinking about going on reality TV?
My advice would be go open with both of your eyes wide open. If it doesn't feel right in your gut, then trust that. You know what I mean? Don't let anyone try and convince you or sway you to do or be or say anything that is outside of your true character, because you mm-hmm. will live to regret it. It is on tape for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. But most of all, do it with the right intentions, positive intentions, and have fun. And really, truly try and experience it without all the extra rigmarole, like, fully. And you'll be all right.
Love it. Thank you, Alexis. Amazing advice. Important You're for welcome. Us as we're preparing to hopefully be on The Amazing Race.
Fingers yes, crossed. Absolutely. Y'all can get, girl, y'all can do it. If I can do it, trust me. If I can do it, anybody can do this. I'm telling you. Don't think anything is too big for you. I'm telling you. I can do it. Amen. I promise you. You yes, will be surprised.
I receive it. Yes. We always like to do a what to watch segment. Like, what are you watching right now? Is there anything that you recommend?
I'm watching Abbott Elementary right now.
So funny.
I really, really want Love and Marriage Huntsville to come back. I haven't been watching Love and Marriage. Is it DC or Detroit?
Yeah, I think something it's like DC.
Mm-hmm. I haven't been watching that too much. But yeah, Real Housewives of Potomac. I'm waiting on Real Housewives of Atlanta to come back. Married to Medicine. I love Married to Medicine.
Yes.
You're like our mom. You're literally saying our mom's favorite
shows. Yeah, Married to Medicine. Right now, I kind of like to go back and binge watch things too. Mm. So I just watched Lovecraft Country again. That's really good. And right now I'm rewatching Atlanta and Revenge and Scandal. I kind of like
classics.
Yeah, I'll get into like three episodes at a time type person. Mm-hmm. A lot right now, actually. I'm watching too much TV right now.
About it. Never too much.
Never.
In terms of Ready to Love related content, the show did get renewed for season 10.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure where it'll be or when that'll come out, but we'll have to keep tabs.
I heard
news.
It's supposed to be in Philly.
Oh,
so they're going to Philly, I think. Allegedly.
East Coast.
It should be interesting. I think now I'm going to watch it and be like, it probably didn't even happen like that. Oh, but I'm still going to watch it nonetheless, just because, you know, alumni mm-hmm. and all that. So,
yeah.
Is there a city that we'd love to see Ready to Love come to?
Ooh, well, they've kind of like worn Texas out. Like, they
got to get away from
They did a lot in Texas. Okay. They did like two Houston ones, the Dallas, Fort Worth. They've done enough Texas. They did Miami. I want to see them go like to the more like West Coast. I don't think they really have a good showing of anything on the West Coast or Chicago. Chicago will probably be a really good one.
Yeah, they should be Midwest. Yeah,
a lot of professional Black people in Chicago.
Yeah, I think Philly will be good. Maybe a New York would be fun. Like,
New York?
Seeing a bunch of New Yorkers. Oh, there's that would be so good.
Like, yelling at each other. Yeah, that would be funny. It'll be entertainment for sure.
Yes. Yeah.
Entertainment.
Yes. And
for
there's
sure.
so many Black people in New York. Like, that would be great. That would be great. And I looked at, love to see an LA season. Maybe Shelby, you know, get Shelby on Ready to Love.
Laurel, that's hilarious.
You'd probably be like, no, can I self-eliminate, please?
I know, after hearing what Alexis has said, I'm like,
you're like, maybe not. Oh, and I wanted to ask you, Alexis, how is dating now for you? Like, how has that changed since being on the show?
So I've had a lot of guys in my inbox.
Okay.
A lot of guys in my inbox. But I think right now, just with everything, like, it's just like finishing wrapping up airing and all of this, like, this was my time to like breathe and kind of just put dating on pause for a while. Like, that experience was so much that I'm like, I am all dated out for a while. I still want to meet my forever person. I think the show definitely made me slow down and realize, like, I do not have to be in a rush at all. I'm really looking forward to just really taking it slow with somebody and just really just taking our time and feeling each other out.
Nice. That's good.
So send your cute eligible bachelors my way, not just the eligible ones.
Yes, emphasis on cute.
Emphasis, hard C on cute.
Sisters Who Watch listeners, if you know anyone in the Dallas Fort Worth area, you know, cute, eligible, you know what DMs to slide into.
Yes,
exactly. Over 30, thanks.
Yes, that's it.
I really appreciate y'all for having me on. This was
of
fun.
Course.
This was really fun.
Yes. This was so fun. It was so nice to see you, and we really appreciate you taking the time and sharing about your experience.
Absolutely.
Because we know it had ups and downs, so we're just grateful that we're able to chat with you and reflect on it.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we love your family so much, so we're just so happy that
shout out to Arlene and Don Williams in Mississippi.
Exactly. Mom Dukes, Papa.
Well, if you enjoyed this episode of Sisters Who Watch, go support Alexis. Go follow her on Instagram. Yes. What's your Instagram handle, Alexis?
My Instagram is Listen to Lex.
Yes.
There we go.
Listen go to support Lex, everyone. Alexis.
Yes.
Go follow.
Yes. So support Alexis. Show her some love on social media. And if you enjoyed this episode, please give us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, wherever you listen, Sisters Who Watch. And go follow us on Instagram at Sisters Who Watch and all our other social medias, Twitter, LinkedIn, TikTok, YouTube. We're there. So go support us.
Yes. We really want to hear from y'all and we appreciate the support. Feel free to DM us or email us. We want your advice and thoughts on what we should be watching next.
Yes.
Thank you so much for tuning in.
Go buy our merch at sisterswhowatch.com.
Bye.
Bye.
Stay
everything.
Watching.